Heidi and Frank Show. You can always follow us on Twitter at Heidi and Frank. You can actually follow Christopher Titus too on Twitter at Titus Nation. Very active on social media. He's got a podcast. He's a busy guy. He's got his new show on History Channel. He decided to come in here and hang out with us again.
Christopher Titus.
Good morning, people.
Good to see you, man.
You know what? Can you guys have a more inconvenient place in Los Angeles to drive to?
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I know.
The only way to get here quick is to live here.
That's true.
Yeah. Or leave at 2 in the morning.
I'm not complaining.
Like, oh, yeah, 9 o'clock in the morning? No problem.
I think it's my fault. I moved into to the worst part of LA. Good morning. What's going on, people?
We've been talking about Christmas. It's basically our last week before we go on our Christmas vacation. And we're talking about Christmas and just the ins and outs of it, whether you go shopping and then end up buying yourself gifts.
I did that last night, actually. I always sell something nice. It's good. Yeah. You know why? Because I've been good this year. It's weird because I came home and my wife goes, what'd you get me? And I was like, no, really. Got myself something good.
Yeah, but the intent was to shop for her.
I went out to shop for her, yes. Okay. But then I thought, wow, I really like that.
Yeah.
Are you a good gift giver or?
Yeah, but it took me a while, though. My ex was horrible she just would just take and take. And she was giving people gifts, basically just writing checks and stuff. So what happened was I got weird about it. And then my new girl has very expensive tastes, but she's amazing, so she's worth it.
Right.
And now, but it's painful at times. Are you a good gift?
You just gotta listen throughout the year.
No, I'm the guy who forgets. I mean, to get anything.
Really?
Women
love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Our anniversary never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, and the great thing is, it never comes back on you. That's what I love about women. They just they forget right away, and they never bring it up all the time when you're in the shower or something or trying to have
coffee.
You don't
even care about the day I was born. Right. Me, that I was brought into the world. You don't even care about that day.
But I do random days. Oh, no. It's like, you know, it'll just be a Tuesday. It means nothing. And I'm like, look, I got you something. He's like, what's this for? Did you cheat on me?
Exactly. You can't win. Who are you seeing? Let me see your phone. I'm checking your browser history.
Yeah, we've had quite the show today. Christopher Titus.
You guys are great on the Dish Network show. I watch you guys lately. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not a big fan of those shows, but you guys are really good on it
when you guys are
on. The big. TMZ's become this thing where it's basically they made themselves famous.
Right.
By kind of sucking off the blood of the other people that actually
trying to do that same day.
You guys actually are talented. There's a difference. You're not leaning on a thing, drinking a latte, making a penis joke.
We may make
penis
joke.
Yeah, we just drink lattes.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Okay. There you go. Okay. There you go.
We started off the show with, have you ever lit a fart on fire?
If you're not a man, it's literally like the Indians had, you had to go kill your spirit animal and bring back its head. And to modern society, you're not a man, so you light a fart on fire.
Well, I did that. That's how we got into it, because I said it was the Darwin Awards. And I said, you just don't hear women very often going, hey, Katie, let's light our farts on fire. And then sure enough, girls called and goes, I've totally let my farts on fire.
Yeah.
At like 15. Heidi
was afraid that when you fart, you inhale as well.
I didn't know what happens afterwards.
You're broken. You're broken.
But while everything's open,
nothing goes back in.
Fire. This is still open, and all of a sudden it's like, my intestines are now melted to my inside. I don't know if that happened. I don't want to take a chance.
A lady today imploded when she was lighting, trying to ignite a fart.
Right, exactly.
Maybe that is what happened when those people are just ashes in a recliner.
We suspect terrorism.
Right.
Spontaneous combustion. Maybe that's what actually happens. Like,
just some old lady. Boom. She was just in a rocking chair reading the newspaper. No, she was lighting her fart
all
on fire.
Sheila, I blew my ass off.
I told you.
I'm glad we started at such a high level.
Oh, I know.
Why would it go back in? Do you know anything about the mechanics?
No,
of the
I do.
Body?
I do. But I'm saying I don't know exactly what happened. Yeah, exactly. You said your sphincter can go
like a backdraft.
What is that? While things are open and
that's a learned behavior, though.
How open do you think they are?
I don't know. Well, you know, some
with the internet.
Some are squeakers, and then some are.
If it's making a noise. Wow, this has gone so sideways. Didn't I just get here?
It's the things you learn on the internet. I remember when the coffee enema had come out. And I didn't realize it was cold coffee.
By the way.
I was like pouring a pot of it. And I'm like, I'm the only guy with a sphincter that can actually go.
It's hot.
Only. A little cream in this.
See?
Oh, my God.
If I can do that, you've never really tried.
You guys are out of control this morning.
Christopher Titus hanging out with us. Your DVD just came out today, right?
It's out. Yeah, I started my company, Combustion Films. We did. You guys helped me out the last one, dude. Voice in My Head. We did on our own, and then Combustion Films.
Better way to do it.
Our third production.
So you don't have other people. Yeah, and it's too many cooks in the kitchen.
And so many people just taking your money. Like it's crazy. Again, I'll say this. I know why Prince wrote "Slave" on his face. You get with the distribution company, all of a sudden you go, you guys sold how many? That's great. What am I going to check? Well, we have shelving fees, and then we had advertising. We hired a bunch of little people to go around and do. Events at record stores. There's no record stores. Right. They went around. And those were $3,000 per. So you don't. So although we made a lot of profit, your cut is zero.
Nothing.
So then I was driving by Warner Brothers and I was like, I had this weird moment of total clarity. I'm driving past Warner Brothers, which is a beautiful studio, and then Universal's on the other side of my house. And I was driving past these studios and going, these are beautiful buildings. And I thought, you know, not an artist, a writer, or a grip, or anybody owns a piece of those buildings. Nobody who built those buildings owns those buildings. Whoa. And I just thought, wow, that's not going to happen anymore. So I started Combustion Films.
Now you're building your own building.
Yeah, so the people can be mad at me one day. I got ripped off by Titus. Combustion Films totally raped me. Yeah, exactly.
That's the goal.
Exactly. You know that lighting fart video I posted that they produced was amazing.
Yeah, not $1.
Are you working on Special Unit?
Yes, we are. Special Unit. So here's what's going on. Special Unit, a guy from that did the American Pie movies, we had a meeting with him, and because you have a lot of meetings in Hollywood. So they're raising money now. We're going to supposedly do it next year.
Yippee.
I'm working on it. Brad Williams and Josh Blue, everybody's still in it. And I am, this movie's getting made.
Give everybody a quick rundown of what it is again. Just the
Special Unit. Due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, the LAPD has to hire 4 handicapped undercover detectives, and I pretty much play Nick Nolte's mug shot in the movie, and I rewrote the script. So, you know, it's weird when you write something and people go, you could give it to someone, you go, tell me what you think. You don't really want to hear what they think. You want them to go, this is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. You're a genius.
It didn't happen. I had 3 people go. First of all, they go, this is really long. It was like an hour. It was like 120 pages, and I heard it for about 2 years, and I was like, thanks for the insight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate your input. And which means it's like saying F you. Thank you for your input. It's like saying F.
It's long. Yeah. It's really long.
So one day I bit the bullet and I took out 24 pages and it literally went from to really funny. And then everyone just jumped on it. So it'll be made next year.
I'm looking forward to that.
That is awesome.
You guys are in it.
Long time.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be in it, right?
You're
one of the special undercovers.
No. No, you're the... that was radio. You could not see the face she just made.
It was incredible. It was the best face ever.
See, that's her normal face. She straightens it out for the show.
This is, yeah. No one
when we have guests, she straightens it out.
No one wants to look at that for 4
hours. She
relaxed
a little bit right there.
So we're selling the new DVD, Angry Pursuit of Happiness. It's out now. The next show I'm working on is called... Born with a Defect. That's the next one because it's about my children. Every child is born with a defect, and our job as parents is to undefect them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much
Some defects are good, though, right?
And I love my kids because I hate jail. The point is, that's why every parent does
How
it.
How old are your kids?
10 and 13. 10 and 13.
Do you leave them alone?
My daughter's at the age now. Which, you know, what's weird is that when you pay babysitters for so long and you have childcare, you're like, wow, man, at what age can the kids watch themselves legally where I cannot
13,
be
I was,
taken away in a van?
Right. Yeah, because at 13, I was babysitting for other kids. So
legally, it's 12. In California, at 12 years old, you can leave your child alone in a house.
Is there an hour limit on that, or can I just leave them, like, go to Cabo for a week?
You have to call.
Check in.
Wait, you have
leave a bowl of kibble out.
What? You have an 11-year-old son, so in 1 year, you think you'd be fine just completely leaving him?
Well, yep, I was home by myself at 9. I was at 9 years old, I was by myself. You know, my dad would leave me go out dancing with whatever slutty happened to bump into that week. He would go dancing and leave me at 9. The doors are locked. If you go outside, I hope something kills you. Yeah, fear is a free babysitter.
You didn't have any brothers or sisters?
Oh my God.
Depending. He got married 6 times, so
you might.
Sometimes I did. Sometimes I had half brothers and sisters. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I did. Sometimes I didn't.
Damn
don't
it.
Feel sad.
No, what was Christmas like? Are you kidding?
What was Christmas like back then, growing up?
My dad was one of those. My dad hated Christmas with a passion not contested. He thought the Grinch was just had an upbeat attitude. My dad, you'd open a present in front, and he married these women. He always married these women. He's attracted to these women that really loved Christmas. So there was always this fight right around December 5th about a Christmas tree. Like literally screaming, out of a damn tree in the house. tossing the needles, and my dad would, but it's Christmas, and we had those old Christmas lights that when about like 30 minutes in, they're like 312 degrees, and the tree is, you could actually see the tree turning colors while it's sitting there. You're like, why is it going browner?
We're gonna die tonight, Daddy.
Exactly. Let's leave mom so it looks pretty for the neighborhood. Yeah. Crackle, snap.
The doors are locked. Don't turn the tree off.
Yeah exactly. Because child support's expensive. So you'd open a present on Christmas Day in front of my father, and he would instantly get up and say, wow, this is really cool. And he'd go, yeah, you're probably going to break it. You're going to maybe it's going to last like 6 hours. He'd start ripping on you the second you open your present.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my whole
Really? Did you have a rough day?
Yes.
Yeah, my dad.
And we were just talking about it. My dad is one of those guys, you get him something, I get excited about giving it, and he's like, all right.
Or how about this? Why'd you get me this?
Right.
That one.
Yeah, I don't know. I was talking about...
I thought maybe I would put a little polish on your black heart is what I thought.
You're a little princess. Yeah, no, exactly. Nothing. Okay, nothing. Fine.
Well, you want to get your dad whiskey rocks.
My dad is a whiskey drinker, and he always complains about... He's like, well, whiskey's good. The only thing is I like it cold, and then the ice waters it down. I don't like it watered. I'm like, ooh, I saw whiskey rocks in one of those magazines I get in the mail. I'll get that. And he's like, that's a horrible gift. No guy wants whiskey rocks. So I don't know.
It's one of those things that the guy, I think.
So your dad was so angry, he actually, although an alcoholic, even had a problem with getting drunk.
Yeah, right.
You could find something bad with it. it's whiskey, but it's ice in it.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of crap is this?
Yeah.
You're saying you're buying him a bottle too? What's his brand?
Listen, I've tried to get him high-end fancy. I'm from Southern Indiana. He wants early times whiskey.
Ooh, it's old school.
It's old school.
If it came out of a still, it's fresh from the still. That's
what
I want.
It's sweet, yeah, but that's what I'll get him, a bottle of that. And whiskey rocks, which now I've learned is a bad idea.
Maybe you can go to like a pawn shop and get him something cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like pornography.
Because I'm on a show.
I do love pawn shops, though.
Yeah.
The History Channel, it's a game show?
Yeah, I've been doing it. Yeah, they called me and said, "Titus, you want to be on? You want to do the game show?" And I went, "No, I don't want to do a game show because that wasn't in my dream list. I went to my little bucket list and not on there. You know, horrible divorce that was on there. Check.
And then they
said, "Well, how much would it take you to do it?" And I said, and I gave them a number. It's History Channel. There's no way they're gonna. It's cable.
Right.
Well, except the Pawn Stars is like number top five show in 58 countries. So they're like, sure, no problem. And then I was like,
damn,
you can't be a douchebag then and go, well, I didn't want more now because you said yes. That's the worst argument.
Yeah. You thought you outpriced yourself. You put a ridiculous number out there.
So I took the show, and I got to tell you, the guys are the nicest guys in the world, and it's a blast. It's a blast. They cut out all the funny, though. It's like whoever's cutting it in New York, I need to punch them in the throat.
Yeah, we experienced that.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. That's just me. You're holding up a sign.
He does that. He's a constant distraction. What do you want? What do you want? Break. Oh. You want a break? Shut up. You've had too many breaks already.
How old are you? What are you, hiring eighth graders? What happened?
Hey, no, look at him. That's not even real.
Come on, guys. It's time. I'm producing this show.
Isn't that crazy?
Let's do it.
He's a married man.
Really?
He just got married.
He looks like
a four-year-old.
He looks like he's a freshman.
Man, you ever lit a fart on fire, son?
In your woman's jeans? Yeah, he wears women's jeans, too.
He's a weirdo. He's a slight fella, so, you know. Sometimes
them skinny jeans. Can't light a fart in skinny jeans, my friend. Can't get your legs over your head. You know what I'm talking about? Go for it.
Any deathbed confessions?
Deathbed confessions. In this show, I do my eulogy. In the last part of Angry Pursuit of Happiness, which is available online at ChristopherTitus.com, or you order the DVD, it'll get you for Christmas. And we signed it. Okay, good. Thanks for letting me hear it. Thanks
for
the commercial. Of course.
I went into commercial voice, actually. I'm such a whore. God. So, it's funny I do this character at the end where I do my own eulogy because my uncle spoke at my dad's funeral. No one's speaking at my funeral. Mm-hmm. You guys are invited because it's going to be open bar, but nobody's speaking.
I'll go anywhere.
Nobody's speaking at the funeral because my uncle basically admitted to a felony. Did I tell you this before?
No.
My uncle admitted to a felony during his eulogy and then gave us his alibi. Yeah. I am not making this up. My uncle, who I love to death, he's 60, but he looks like he's 35 in great shape. But he's a little serial killer, and he gets up and he's just and I didn't think that's the story. He just gets up and he goes, you know, the last time I saw my brother showed up at his house, my shirt was ripped and my head was covered in blood. And we all kind of stopped, and in my head I'm like, is he talking like blood of Christ? Is that a metaphor?
What's that? Like, what is that happening?
So there was a woman pulled over on the side of the road. I pulled over to help her. She had a flat tire, and for some reason she thought I was going to rape her. Well, I think he left a chunk out of that story. I think there's a chunk of that story missing.
Yeah, what would make a woman think,
So I'm pulling her door open to tell her I wasn't going to rape her. And then he goes, she let the door go. It hit my shirt. It hit me in the chest. I hit my head on the door, started bleeding. And she ran down the freeway with her shirt ripped. And at this point, I just pull out my phone, 911, and just hold it up. Whatever. He goes, she flagged down a pickup truck with these two guys, and it told them I was trying to rape her. So I had to fight those guys. As opposed to explaining that you weren't trying to rape her, he fought the guys. And he goes, so when I showed up at my brother's house, I told him that story, and he slammed the door in my face. Well, because he didn't want to be an accessory to rape?
Right. And this was all a eulogy.
Or have your victim's DNA on his house, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what happened.
Gonna miss him.
He said He didn't even. He did it at my grandma's funeral, too. He did the same thing. He went to my grandma's funeral, and he did the same thing. He starts talking. He got arrested on the way to Columbia. And we're like, what? What's he talking? He didn't say why. He just started talking. He goes, and this is the weirdest part. He goes, so I'm in the cell for 48 hours, and I was sitting there, and I just remember counting the tiles. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a big mosaic on the wall. So it was an old prison or something. And he goes, it was 12 by 12. How long did it take you to count that? 12 by 12? Was it a long time counting that one?
Does he think deathbed confessions are for him?
The person's dead,
now I gotta confess to what I've done.
Right,
deathbed confession.
Exactly. They can't speak anymore, so let me tell you some stuff I did.
Yeah.
No, so I get up, and basically it's my thing is that, I just have this idea about when I'm dead, is I just want to do it. Like, hey, everybody, I'm dead. I know you can see the box over there. I'm not sure if it's open or closed because I had two different plans. If it's open, that means I went with plan A, which is do a lot of prescription medication and some peyote and trip my ass off while the sun went down. If it's closed, that means I went with plan two, which is jump out of airplane with a backpack full of laundry and camping gear. Just so when I pull that ripcord, I can watch the jump master have an aneurysm. So if it's closed, I laugh my ass off the whole way down. Like to speak to all the people from my personal life, to my first wife. That's a middle finger. There you go. To my second wife, you are everything to me. You are tall, beautiful, smart, funny. You love me like no one ever did. And sorry I cheated on you with those strippers. To my third and fourth wives, we gave it a shot. To everybody else, never marry strippers. To my fifth wife, I guess I can tell you now, I killed her. She was horrible. So much worse than my first wife. God, I would have gladly choked that bitch out in front of a police station.
Christopher Titus, ladies and gentlemen. My God.
That's the beginning of my eulogy. Yeah, so it's online. And guys, thanks for the support on it. You know, I think when Louis C.K. did this, and when you take it on, it's weird to produce something. Mm-hmm. And we did, and it came out. It's an HD. It's really good. Actually, my agent called me, surprised. Agents, when you tell your agents, I'm doing it myself, they just get, you hear this.
Yeah.
It's okay. A long sigh.
Jimmy.
Yeah. And I turned it into him, and he goes, surprisingly, it's really good. It's really quality.
Thanks.
HD, thanks. It's actually broadcast
thanks.
Quality.
Yeah.
So
thanks,
get your broadcast quality at ChristopherTitus.com.
Hour 45. It's an hour 45 of new comedy material, and then while I'm on the road doing the new stuff, Born with a Defect. This one's called Angry Pursuit of Happiness. Go to ChristopherTitus.com. If you want to order it for Christmas for somebody, I will autograph it, and you'll get it before Christmas.
There nice. You go. Thank
Boom!
You for coming in, Christopher.
We'll Guys, be back. Thanks, man.
We're out of here, Frank. Come back to 95.5 KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.